Good afternoon, this is Paul Sigrist for the National Park Service. Today is Thursday, March 31st, 1994. It's Monday, Thursday during Holy Week. I'm in Brooklyn at the Shore Hill Senior Citizens Apartment Complex with Jean Stanziali. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Stanziali came from Italy in 1922. She was 6 years old at that time. Anyway, thank you for having us in. And Mrs. Stanziali, can we begin with you giving me your birth date, please?
September 17th, 1915.
And what was your maiden name?
Casale.
Can you spell that, please?
C-A-S-A-L-E.
And what town were you born in Italy?
Altavilla, Ispina.
Can you spell that for me?
Let me see.
Mrs. Stanziali is just writing down the name of the town.
Ispina. It's A-L-T-V-E-I-L-L-O, and then it's capital E-R-R-P-I-N-O.
Whereabouts in Italy is
it? It's in Italy. It's like you say a borough of Naples, you know? Over there they call them, Providence, Provincia.
I see.
Provincia, they call it. So, and that's one of the little towns around there. Provincia Benevente. That's actually where it comes from, the Sattavilla Pina.
And so that's right near Naples.
Yeah, it's in near Naples, yes.
What as a small child, because you were quite young, what do you remember about the town, if anything?
Oh, I remember we had a macaroni place that we used to make homemade macaroni. And then I remember a big, big wall in front of our store. And I went back to see it. And the macaroni place wasn't there anymore, but the town was still there, nice little town. They have a feast of St. Pellegrino every year, and I happened to be there at the time when I went to visit.
During the later visit.
And it impressed me very much when I went there, because as I got off the bus, they started to shoot fireworks. And to me, it felt like, you're welcome to your town. That's the way I felt. And I started to cry.
Mm. But as a child, what you remember... The making of the macaroni.
Yes, and I was in the store, and there was a big wall in front of the store, like, you know, how can I say, like a wall, you know, something that people living on the top, whatever it was. So.
Was the macaroni store something your family owned, or was?
Yes, we owned. We used to make the macaroni for the town.
Can you tell me how you used to make macaroni in Italy? What is the process of making macaroni?
Well, you mix the flour and the water, and then they have a big thing where this handles, like, you know, and it keeps kneading and kneading the flour and the thing. When it's ready, then they put into process with a dish, and the macaroni goes right down, whatever type you want, linguine, spaghetti, every plate has its own design. And then you used to hang it on a stick and make it dry.
So it's very flexible when it comes out.
Yeah.
Did most people buy macaroni at that time?
Yes, they did, buy homemade macaroni, yes.
So was this something your father owned, or did he work
for? My grandparents owned it.
On which side? Your mother's side or your father's side?
My father's side. The Casale's.
What do you remember about your grandparents in Italy, if anything?
Mm-hmm. They were warm, you know. They respected me a lot, and when it was my grandmother's Mother's Day, I used to bring her flowers, and my grandma used to buy me a dress to give it to you. You know, as I say thank you for bringing her the flowers. That's what I remember. I remember I went to private schooling, the nuns, to learn embroidery. My mother sent me to private school.
You were quite young at that time.
Well, they had these little pre-kindergartens, like you'd say, where they teach you how to sew and everything, and I was taught to make embroidery. And I also remember there was a man living in our apartment. And he was something in the royal family. And then he got old and he had to retire. And he came to live in this complex where I was living. And he took such a liking to me that every morning I had to go down and have breakfast with him. He liked me so much, he told my parents that when he died, he would give me the treasure of his son, because his son turned out bad. Okay. Well, what happened, he died. But before he died, he didn't get me. But he says, when I get better, I'll take it to Naples to get the treasure. So when he died, he called his wife over. And he says, get my wallet. So the wife got the wallet. He just put his fingers in the wallet, and guess what he picked out? 10 liras. He couldn't pick 1,000. He picked just 10 liras, so naturally that was given to me. See? That I remember very good. I remember the words that he says he would take me, and I just remember going to this man's house and sitting on his lap, you know, and all that.
Sure, right. Something to look forward to.
Yes, but I didn't get the treasure, though. I didn't get the inheritance of his son.
Let me just put the pencil down, because it'll pick up there. Okay. Did your mother or father ever tell you any stories associated with your birth? Like when your mother was carrying you, or a story about when she gave birth to you?
Not really. No, not really, because then she had other children, but then they died. One died of the Spanish flu. See? And...
What was your mother's name?
M-E-O, Mayo. Her maiden name.
That was her maiden name.
Matilda Mayo.
And tell me a little bit about your mother's personality and what it was like.
She's a woman that suffered a lot and had gave you very good ideas in life. She was a wonderful person.
What did she look like? If you had to describe her.
Very pleasant person. Very pleasant. She was very wise. You know, no schooling, but very wise in her experience that she had in life.
Right? Did she ever try to teach you certain things, to live by certain...
Well, that's why I am where I am today, which I know so much by her telling me a lot of things.
What were some of the things that she really wanted you to understand as you grew up?
Oh, one thing, sacrifice. We used to have beans and macaroni once a week, and my mother would save it for the next day for me for lunch. Tell you the truth, you know, after a while I got tired of having the beans and macaroni left over from the next day. And then my dad came home and I says, Dad, I said, you know, Mom would save me always the beans and macaroni. I'm sick and tired of eating that. So my father said, my gosh, she's an only child. Why? Make her eat, like, give her something else. So she turned around, she says, no, she says, she's got to be taught the bad. The good is very easily swallowed, but the good is very bad to swallow. So let her learn the bad things to eat, and then, who knows, she might get a nice man, and she don't have to eat, so she can eat everything. That's the experience. It's part of the teaching that she gave me.
So that was important to your mother.
Yes, and also in rags. I had one dress, and if it tore, my mother put a patch on, my father used to get angry. He says, what are you doing this stuff for? We only got one child, you can dress her the best. And she says, no, she says, she has to be brought up with the bad. Because you never know who she's going to marry. And so that's what happened, you know. She figured, well, maybe the man can't afford it. She can't get used to rags, you know. So she taught me the worst things of life so in order to enjoy the better things when I got them, you know.
Did your mother have a difficult childhood herself?
Yes, she did.
What do you know about her background?
Well, the father got married very young. When the mother, I think she was 6 when the mother died. And he got married. And, of course, she was in front of a stepmother. And stepmother was very mean to her. And that's it. So from her teaching of the bad life she had, she brought it on to me to learn the bad, and then the good you could easily adapt to.
Sure. Huh. Yeah. What about your dad? Did he ever try to teach you anything?
My father was a captain of a big ship in Europe when during the war. And he loved the best of life. He loved everything, you know. But God didn't give him the grace to enjoy everything. He died when he was 31.
What was his name?
Onofrio.
Can you spell that, please?
O-N-O-F-R-I-O.
And he was the captain of the ship during World War I, but was he involved in the macaroni making?
Well, yes, when he retired. Oh, that's their trade. That was their trade, macaroni.
Did he ever talk about his experience during World War I?
Yes, he did.
What do you remember about him?
Oh, well.
Were there any stories that he would tell that you remember?
No, he told me a lot about geography. And when I went to school and he had died, the teacher was telling me, how do you know all these things? I says, well, my father taught me things about geography, you know, and that's about the only thing. But he was a very good man.
Was he a father that liked to spend time with
his
children?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Was there
definitely
some activity that you remember in Italy?
He used to sing. He loved to sing. He used to love to sing. And he tried to sing in America, but my mother didn't want him because he was a good-looking man. She was jealous. So she wouldn't allow him to sing. But he had a lovely voice.
That's interesting.
Yes, he had a lovely voice.
Was your mother musical also?
No, my mother's a little town girl. She didn't know nothing of the outside world. And in fact, my father used to tell her, let me cut your hair. And she says, oh, no, don't you dare. He was very modern, my father, but my mother wasn't. She was an old type, just a hillbilly type, you know, country type. I don't know how to say it.
More and, the peasant.
Yes, yes, more the peasant type, yeah.
Can you describe the house or the apartment that you lived in Italy for me, what you remember about the actual place where you lived?
No, I know that my mother kept a nice, clean home. And I don't remember. I know that there was a big, big door, and we had big key to open the door. And then there was, like, apartments inside this, you know, like you see here, sometimes you go in an apartment. First you open the big door, and then you go in, and then there's another door, and it takes you into the apartments. Something like that.
And that's what sticks in your mind
about
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about religious life. Now, you said that the nuns, you were sent to school
yes.
for the nuns.
Mm-hmm.
What else about religious life? You were Catholics, I assume.
Yes.
Was
yes.
there a church in town?
Oh, yes,
do you remember
definitely.
The name of the church?
The San Pellegrino. That was the name
was
of the saint.
Saint.
Saint, yeah.
And what do you remember about the church building itself, if anything?
Well, on his day, there would be a lot of people coming to ask for grace, you know, or what do you call it, favors or whatever. And some of them, which impressed me very much, they would walk with their tongue on the floor until they got to the saint to ask for whatever they wanted. And then they would donate whatever they want if they would get the miracle. That I remember. I said, Ma, that's very bad. How could they do it? She's telling me, well, my darling daughter, that's the tradition. Yeah, some of them used to go with their tongues all the way down to the altar. But they did it.
Was that a big day for the town?
Oh, yes, very big day. They would put out all their best laundries on the balconies to show what they had, the best blankets, you know. They would show off their whatever precious things they had.
What about Christmas? How did you celebrate Christmas in Italy, if you celebrated it?
Well, that I don't remember too much about Christmas. It was usually tradition, macaroni and fish, you know. And,
is there a traditional Christmas food that you
oh, yes.
serve?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I hate to tell you, but it's eels in my town. The big eels, we roasted them and put them in vinegar. And then we had the little ones, we used to fry them. In fact, my grandfather used to make like a water, how could I say, like a little lake. And he would buy the fish live and keep it in that water under the Christmas ornament, you know, the Christmas tree. The pageant, you know, and he would put it in there, and then for Christmas he would kill the eel Christmas Eve.
Like a little ritual, sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yes, yes, that, because that's tradition of our town. Other towns have different things, you know. And then what else do we cook? That the stufulas. I don't know if you ever heard the little balls with
what
the honey.
What are they called?
Stufula.
Can you spell that?
Let me see.
Mrs. Stanziali is using her pencil again.
Struffed.
And these are little balls made?
Yeah, little balls, and you fry them, and you put honey on them. You know, that's a great tradition. And also fry dough and bows. Those were really the traditional Christmas things.
And then was there a church service that was involved in the
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, sure there was. You know, Good Friday and all that. There was also that, too.
Would you say that Christmas was a more important holiday than Easter? Or
no, I wouldn't say that. No, I think they both have individual meaning.
And for these holidays, like the Saints Day and these Christmas and Easter, would the entire town turn out for the celebration? I assume that perhaps there was just
they had
no
else to go, but these were big holidays for them.
Was the church also the center of all social activity
yes,
in that town?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much everyone knew each other?
Oh, yes, yeah. A small town, you know, everyone knew each other.
Do you remember any games that you played as a child?
No, there? No, my mother kept me very strict.
How
I
so?
Wasn't allowed to play outside, I was only allowed to go to school, and that's it.
You said that you were born, and then she had a couple other children that
yeah.
died
yeah.
in the epidemic after
yeah.
World War One. So what you're remembering is you're an only child.
Yes, I am an only child.
Do you think that some of that strictness stems from the fact that she lost her children?
I don't know. I really don't
know.
Did
she ever talk about the children dying?
Oh, yeah, she did.
What do you know about that?
Oh, yeah, she, you know, she felt very bad about it. And Bernardo, they had anything to do with me, no. It's just that she had suffered when she was young, and she knew that the better things in life don't always come, but the worst do come. So she thought, teach me the worst, you know, in food and things like that. And then if I was lucky enough, I got money, everything would come very easy. I have to sacrifice. That was her theory.
Uh-huh. Do you remember when you were in Italy, any kind of tragedy happening, any family tragedy within your own memory? The death of a grandparent or something like
that? No, my brother, I don't remember, but I had pictures of him that my mother took.
That was one of the...
My oldest brother. It was my older, time. Yeah.
Were you the youngest?
I think I was the first. My brother was second, I believe, yes.
So he was just a child.
Yeah. In fact, I had the picture, finally I threw it away. You know, they had the crib all dressed up, you know, like a coffin and everything. That was the... And every time I saw it in press, finally I threw it away.
But that was the custom.
That was the custom, yeah.
Did you have any relatives in America at this time before your father went over?
Yes. An uncle of ours. My father's sister's husband.
And what was he doing here in America?
I don't know. It's too far back for me to know.
Why do you think that your father wanted to come?
Well, for money-wise. Better living over here.
And do you know what year he came?
19... Let me see, what did I say here? Well, I was 6 months when he called me. So he was only about 6 months here.
So he came 6 months before he
was. Yes, and then he got the papers, and we came right away, which everybody was so new. They think, how could it be that you come? But my father missed his family, but the first thing he came, as soon as he got here, got a job, he made papers to make us come here. And we came within 6 months.
Tell me, when he came to America, where did he go?
Well, he went to stay with his brother-in-law, and then he went to stay with an aunt, until we came from Europe, and then we resided there for a while up in 121st Street, what they call Harlem now.
So when he came to America, he was in Manhattan. He was in...
Yes.
And what job did he get?
Macaroni. Went to the same old macaroni thing.
Was there a large Italian population up in Harlem at that time?
I don't remember.
No. Do you know where he was making the macaroni?
In Brooklyn. He came to Brooklyn to make the macaroni. And then he worked for the Caruso macaroni plant many, many years ago, and it closed down now.
Well, this is interesting because so oftentimes people went and came to America and got jobs that they knew nothing about.
He went back to his own trade.
Yeah, he went right back to his trade. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, in the 6 months after your father was in America and you were still in Italy, how did your mother support the family?
Well, he used to send money over.
Remember
no,
what he was
no.
telling about America?
No, he liked it, and he couldn't wait that we got it. He couldn't wait that we got here.
What did you know about America before you got here?
Nothing.
Did you have any ideas or expectations of what?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. I only my father went to America to better himself. That's all I know. And when I arrived, like I told you over the phone, he came with a little boat. They came to see the people on the big ship because we had to stay overnight. See, it was closed already. And I remember him coming, and I said, hello, Dad, just talking, you know. And then he says, you got a rope there? I said, yes, I do. So he says, let it down. So I let it down, and he tied a Hershey bar of chocolate. That I'll never forget. And I took it up, and I opened it up, and he says, now don't lick it. Eat it, because you got a lot of chocolates here in America. I was just licking the last, you know, and that was it. That I remember very clearly.
Did you leave from Naples?
I guess I must have.
Do you have any recollections of that?
My mother threw everything away. That's why I, you know, hesitated.
Why do you think she did that?
Well, she had a lot of problems when she came here, and I guess moving this and that. She was disgusted, and everything was gone.
Do you have any recollections of the boat trip? The ride on the ship.
Yes, I remember everybody was sick on the boat, and I, as a little girl, went around giving people this and giving people that, and they were going, oh, look at that girl, how she, you know, had a good stomach. That's the only thing I remember.
Do you know the name of the ship that
No, I don't remember.
Do you remember where you slept on the ship at all? Does that stick out in your mind?
Well, I know there was a little hole, like, you know, and then there was a bed there. You know, just like a regular ship, and I slept there with my mother and my brother and my sister, the little sister she lost to a year with the whooping cough.
Oh, so there was actually another...
Asuna. Susie.
And she's older than you, or you?
No, younger. I was the oldest. Yeah.
So you're older than you, or you?
No, younger. I was the oldest. Yeah.
So your mother's got two little kids.
Yeah. No, the one boy had already died with the
but
Spanish flu.
And
then I was there. Yeah.
And the sister, so you know, she's got her hands full. Mm. Two kids. Do you know how long the ride took, the ship?
No. I'm sure about 2 weeks, maybe more. I don't
know. What time of the year is it that you came over? Do you remember?
I'm trying to think. I don't think it was winter. Let's see, he came in... I don't think it was really winter. Maybe in the autumn or the spring, something like that. Because I remember having no heavy things on. Okay.
So the boat comes into New York Harbor. Mm-hmm. Do you remember as a little girl what your impressions of what New York City looked like or the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, I saw the Statue of Liberty, but I didn't know too much what it meant, you know, but it was a pretty sight. And a lot of confusion, you know, holding my hand, you know, come here and come there. And then we got out and my father was waiting for us.
Now, did your father come to Ellis Island to get
you? Yes, he did.
So you were...
I remember him waiting outside, and we passed the rail, you know, and they were all outside waiting, and he called my mother and me, you know.
And, of course, you were old enough. You remembered your do you have any recollections of Ellis Island and what that experience was like?
I was too happy to see my father come here that I didn't, you know, you don't think of these things when you're a child.
Did your mother want to come to America?
Oh, yes, she did. And she swore that she would never go back. She had too many heartaches. She says, I'll never go back to America. Italy.
Yeah. Did your father like America?
Before
you got here, I mean, did he decide that this really was a good place?
Oh, yes, he loved this land. He did. He did very much.
So
that's why he made us come here as soon as possible. He made the papers right away.
Well, you said he missed you.
Yeah.
So Dad comes, gets you at Ellis Island. Mm. Where does he take you?
To these people in Manhattan.
Up in Harlem.
Area where he was living. And when I went there, the surprise was to open the drawer, and I found an enormous doll, just as big as a drawer. And I was so taken back. I said, oh, my God. So he says, well, you always got little dolls in Italy, so now we got you a big one. Okay? So that's the part that I remember, you know.
Welcome to America.
Yes, right? Welcome to America was right.
Now, how long, this was an aunt that you were staying with? Or?
Well, it's really a cousin of my grandmother's, really.
And how long did you stay with her?
About 6 months, then we got our own apartment.
What do you remember about that 6 months when you were up in her apartment? Like about New York and discovering...
Well, we were always closed in. We didn't go anywhere. We didn't know the language or nothing. So I remember they had the gas tank where they used to put the quarter in. And the old-fashioned bathrooms, they had to pull the water. But we were always happy. We were a happy family there.
Did you all stay in one room in this apartment?
Oh, no. She had about 5-6 rooms. You know, the railroad type rooms, yeah.
I see. It was Then what was the first apartment you moved into as a family?
I'll never forget it. On Hemrod Street. It was our first apartment. And I think it was 680 Hemrod Street. No. Hemrod Street. Yes. Hemrod Street.
Hemrod?
Yes, I think so. Let me think a minute.
All right.
Hart Street. Excuse me, Hart Street. I knew I was wrong. Hart Street.
And that's in Manhattan?
No, that was in Brooklyn.
Oh, in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Hart Street.
Yeah, Hart Street.
H-A-R-T.
Yeah.
And what do you remember about that apartment?
Oh, that had a lot of memories, that apartment. That did. We happened to get into a nice family. And they were Sicilian, we were Neapolitan. So the language is a little bit different. So mother had a hard time trying to explain to them, what do you mean, you know? Like they say, the needle. And my mother took a needle, but the needle wasn't. It was a pot. Oh, yeah, a little misunderstanding. And then they had a son that became a doctor. And when he became a doctor, I still called him his first name. And he says, oh, no. He says, my name is Dr. So-and-so now. I says, wow, we grew up a step, you know. And that was then I went to Catholic school there, St. Joseph's School. And, of course, I didn't know the language. And these people taught me. One of the sisters taught me the language, and I went to school there and...
Was it hard for you to learn English? Because I assume you're all talking Italian at home, probably.
Yes. No, it wasn't too bad. I know. I didn't find it that hard. I don't remember anyway. I went right away to the school, and I used to bring the homework home, and this girl used to teach me, this doctor's sister. She used to teach me, you know, and it wasn't bad at all.
Did your father speak English?
No, but he learned the language. Broken English, but he learned it.
What
well.
About your mom? How did she
My
learn
mother,
English?
No, she understood part of it, but she couldn't speak it. Although it we spoke Italian, and the children spoke English to her, but it just didn't penetrate her.
Is it that she didn't want to learn it, or she didn't need to learn it?
No, I guess she thought she didn't need it. But then in the end, she tried, you know, when she was older, tried and get it, but it's too late in the game to really learn.
Did your father, you moved to Brooklyn, your father continued working in the macaroni?
Yes,
what
the
about
same.
Your mom, did she get a job?
Well, she got a job when my father took sick.
This is later
then,
on.
Yeah, my father got sick, and then my mother had to make her mean, so she went to work in the same company. And then my father passed away, and she continued working there. So it was a struggle from then on.
And your father was young when he died, was he not?
Yeah, 33.
So how long had you been in America before he died?
Well, I was 6 years old.
You came to America, you were six.
Yeah, so
and
he died
when...
He was 33.
He was 33, so how old were you when he died?
Let's say 33. 6 years prior to that would be what? 33, 6 years prior to that was how many years?
Well,
33. Yes, he died in 1933.
He died in 1933. Mm-hmm. So he'd been here just about 10 years before he died.
Yeah.
So he was a young man, actually, with a young family. When he
but
died.
I don't get this here now. Why? How does this come about? That I'm 13 years old here.
Well, why don't you explain on tape about his citizenship papers? He took his citizenship papers out after you all arrived.
Yeah, but he has expended 5 years of waiting.
Pretend we didn't have the conversation before the tape was
going,
and explain to us on tape about his citizenship paper and what you thought and what you discovered today.
Well, I always thought that I was age six when he got the papers.
Assuming but look at when you first arrived.
Right. But according to this, I guess he had to wait 5 years. So he came in 33, and five would be 38. So when did he get these papers here?
He got those papers in 1928. It says right on the bottom.
1928.
For the sake of the tape, we're looking at a Xeroxed copy of Mrs. Stanziale's father's citizenship paper.
The 28th. So he came here the 20.
Came in 22.
He must have come here the 22.
Well, he came in 22. You came in 22.
Yes.
The papers
6 months
taken out in 28.
So that's 6 years.
Yeah, 6 years. So. Tell me what your parents like to do for fun in New York at that time.
My father used to love everything, operas, movies, everything, and loved entertainment, and used to like to have parties, you know, good time. And that's about it. It was a good time, Charlie.
How would you have fun at home?
He used to put the Victrola, the pianola, and he would sing, you know, and the people would chime in, and a little wine and a little cheese, and that's it.
Did your mother continue preparing food in an Italian way?
Oh, yes. Yeah, she did. Always did, you know. But after he died, she died with him. She didn't want to know nothing anymore.
That was a real shock to her.
She says, this is too much. I can't take it.
Well, so she lost a couple
days. And he happened to move that day. And that's when he took sick, so they called the ambulance, and he was fixing a gas stove. You know, the gas stove yesterday was being poisonous. And he fell while he was fixing the stove and took him to the hospital, and it seemed to affect his memory. So my mother, heartache, she didn't want to. So we had, that time they used to use barrels to move. And I said to my mother, gee, Ma, I said, how could we live like this with the barrels away? Just pick a spoon or a dish from there. We can't live like this. So she says, I'm too heartbroken. My life has been too hard on me. And she says, I don't care for anything anymore. You want it, you fix it. So I said, all right. So that's how I did my own learning, how to straighten out a house and putting things in, you know. And my mother would watch me. If she saw something she didn't like, she would tell me, you know. But she just let me go and do things and learn on my own. And that's how we started out.
So after your father died, did your mother ever want to go back to Italy?
No, she never wanted to go back. My mother, she didn't want to go back.
Was she...
ships there. She didn't want to go back.
Was she in contact with her parents after she came to
Italy? Well, the parents were all dead.
They had all died by
then. Yeah.
And tell me a little bit about school in this country. You said you went to a Catholic school here, and that one of the nuns helped you learn English.
Not the nuns, the living.
Doctor's sister.
That's right.
I got my sister's
name. Yeah, doctor's sister.
Well, tell me a little bit about going to Catholic school in Brooklyn and being, you know, an immigrant child in that situation.
Well, went to Catholic school, and the Catholic school was very strict. I don't know what I did. Maybe I talked too much or what, so the nun punished me. And he says, you're going to stay in the backyard all night long, and the devil is going to come. Well, I got so frightened. Well, she told me that, I got so frightened. They let me out, I ran to mother. I don't want to go back to school no more. I don't want to speak to the devil, you know. I got so frightened, I didn't want to go to school no more than I went to, you know. I got so frightened, I didn't want to go to school no more than I went to public school after that. And then years later, I met that same nun with relatives of some friend that I picked up, and she's not told the story. She says, oh, yes, I remember. Many years later, I come across the same nun.
It's a mean thing to do.
They were very strict that time, you know.
Now, did you have, was religious life important here in America?
Always. Yeah. Religion was always important.
What church did you attend?
St. Joseph's, right there, Saddam Street.
Did the way you worship change at all? Like the way you celebrated holidays?
No. Same way. Traditional things. You know, like my daughters tell me, Ma, there's one thing about you, always have the tradition meal. Now they combine everything. Easter, Christmas, all that stuff. I always stick the same thing. Christmas is Christmas and Easter is Easter. I always go, and Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving.
Do you remember any prayers in Italian? That you learned maybe as a child, or
We used to say the Hail Mary, Mother and I, in Italian.
Can you do it for us on tape?
Oh, I don't know. I can't think. Santa Maria, Piena di Grazia. I can't go further. I can't remember now. Can't no more. And then my grandma taught me a prayer for Saint Anthony. That I don't forget.
Can you say that for us?
Yes. Sant'Antonio da Padova veniste, trece grazie domandate e trece ne aveste. Fam una me per cinque croce di Gesù Cristo.
And what did you just say?
Saint Anthony, you wanted a favor from Christ. You are allowed 13 graces, so please give me one from the 13, what? I can't speak that in English. No, the five wounds of Christ. Give me one. Right? It's in that order. You know, maybe I made a mistake, a word or two, but in that order. And I remember that very good.
Thanks.
Yeah, when I'm in trouble, I say those prayers.
Well, and that would really come from your distant childhood, wouldn't
yes,
it? If your grandmother
taught
you to say that.
Saint Anthony, you came from Padua. You asked for Christ for 13 miracles. So please give me one on the five...
stigmata?
Yeah. Wounds. Something like that. I can't think of that. How would you explain it in English?
Huh.
It's such a shame. Maybe if I, you know, sit down and analyze, maybe I would get it, you know. But right now...
When you were growing and of course, you in your teens, and of course, you're thoroughly Americanized at that point,
right,
more
yeah.
so than your parents, certainly. Was it ever difficult for you or embarrassing for you to have immigrant parents?
Never was embarrassed, no.
A young woman?
No, never was
Most of your find that at that also had immigrant, most of your peers also had immigrant parents. Was that the kind of neighborhood that it was where you lived?
No, I don't remember that. I don't remember there was any others because we didn't bother much with people. My mother was always to herself. In fact, when I went for my passport, I think, let me get a passport to make sure, although my father was allowed, I went crazy. Nobody had records of us. You know, when they go with that, so many years they go around to find out the people. What do they call that?
The census.
Census. They couldn't find out where we lived. Evidently, my mother never opened the doors to them. Well, I had a heck of a time to go through. Finally, I gave up, and I don't know what happened. Then they found it. Because I figured I don't want to bring the citizen paper. I have my own passport from my father, see? And they couldn't find us. Evidently, my mother never opened the doors to these, you know, these people that came around.
And as you said, she also got rid of all the immigration.
Well, not that she got rid of. I think she was heartbroken over the tragedy she had. Then when she moved from one place to another, she didn't know where she put them. That's what must have happened.
You tell me the first job that you ever got that paid money.
The first job when I worked for cleaning threads from dresses.
Can you tell me what you had to do and how much you got
paid? You had to cut threads, you know.
Was this in a factory?
Yeah, in a factory. And because I wanted to go to school. My mother says, no, you can't go to school because I need the money. We need the money to survive. I was all right, so I went to work. I went to work, and I went to in a dress shop cutting threads. Okay, I got $3-4 a day, whatever. And I used to give it all to my mother because that was a tradition years ago. When you worked, you gave the salary to your parents.
And then would she give you a couple dollars spending money out of what you
Yeah, if I needed it, yeah, she would. She would. And then before you know it, I met my husband. I got married. That was the end of my career.
How did you meet your husband?
Oh, well, how do I meet my husband? I had some girlfriends that went to the theater where they had their boyfriends. They had broken up. So they took me with them to tell them what was happening, you know, if they were there. So I went there, and we were sitting up at the lobby, and they were sitting in the orchestra, and the girl says, are they there? I says, yes, they are. I says, but they have another fellow with them. She says, oh, yeah, who's the other fellow? I says, well, I don't know. You should know. You go out with the fellas. She says, I don't know. Well, anyway, we got out, and we went to the ladies' room, and I was waiting for my girlfriends outside, and these fellas come over and says, You're Casale's granddaughter? I says, yes. He says, oh, he says, where was so-and-so? The girls lived upstairs in my uncle's house. So then they come out and they start talking. He says, well, let's take a walk. So I says, no, I'm going home because my mother kept me very strict. And she used to tell me, you better be home while my spit dries, otherwise you're getting a bean. Now, I don't know if the spit ever dried or what, but I had to make sure I was home before the spit dried. So I said, no, I said, I got to go home, you know, my mother. She says, no. I said, no, I don't want to, but no, we have a fellow for you. And that fellow was my husband.
What was his name?
Thomas.
At the time. Stanziali.
Yeah, yeah.
His last name.
And from there, we started to go out, and that was it.
And he was from Italy also.
Yes, Ming. Ciangadel. Right near Ming. Ciangadel. Ciangadel. It's a butcher-like, a little butcher shop they call it. Ciangadel. That's another little town.
So when did you marry? What was the date of the wedding?
1932.
And the month and the date?
April 29th, 1932. We're married 61 years.
And what do you remember about your wedding? Do you remember what your wedding gown
was? Oh, it rained, it poured. I remember that. And, of course, I was downhearted because my father wasn't there. My uncle took me to the altar. And we had a little home wedding, you know. Took all the furniture out and made it very, you know, clear, so the few people we invited came, and that's it.
Did you have children?
Yes, 5 sons.
Could you name them for us on tape?
Anthony, Eugene, Henry, Thomas Jr., and Johnny.
Thank you. And tell me the first time you went back to Italy.
Oh, 1970, I believe.
That was the first time you went back in
Italy? And then when I went back, 71, 70, somewhere in the 70 anyway.
Did you go back to the town?
Yes, I did.
Tell me what that felt like.
Well, I told you when I got off the bus, they start shooting fireworks, and to me it felt like you're welcome to your town. But actually that was the process of the fighting. Cried, and then I went to cried and cried. And then I went to the church, and also the feast was going on, and I cried thinking that, you know, my mother used to be there and everything. And I bought a little token there, and I came back and I put it in my mother's grave. Because my mother says, anytime when you get me, I'm going to help you give you money. And the funny part was this, that we always planned on going to Italy, but we didn't know when. So I says to my mother, she had died. I said, you know, Mom, if you want me to go to Italy, why don't you make me win something? So we happened to go to the track, right? So I told my husband, you know what, Mama died, and she loved our home so much. Pay the address, 1462. He's all right. He goes to the track, and he prays a different number, like 14, 16. He changed the numbers around. He came back, and I says, Donnie, you never do what I want. I want that address. So he says, all right, here's a dog, go put a bed up with Peep, you know. I go put the bed, and there was trouble with Peep, you know, never thinking. All of a sudden, they call out the numbers. Well, everybody was saying, you're going to be rich, you're going to be, I said, look, I don't know what I'm going to get, but I won, never won in my life. So I won $2,500. So I went, you know, I was crying like crazy. So Mom says, instead of being happy, you're crying. What are you crying about? I was happy, but I also was thinking that I asked my mother to help me, and she did. So I says, well, this is the time we're going to Europe. And that's how I went to Italy.
Oh, what a great story.
Yeah, that's the story.
How long did you stay in Italy?
6 weeks. And oh, I enjoyed every bit of it.
And did you visit your husband's town, too?
Oh, yes, we visited everybody, all the relatives, everything. We wasted 1 week in looking at relatives and then 4 weeks of traveling. And then we came back for 2 days and we just said goodbye to everybody and we left.
Do you still have relatives there?
Yeah, my husband does. I have, but I don't keep in touch with them anymore.
What do you think is Italian about you? What is still Italian about you?
The strictness. You know, what my mother taught me, and I just don't change with the new ideas. I'm from the old school. And that's it.
So you have that sort of old-fashionedness that
yes,
your mother
has.
Yes,
I do. Yes, I do. I believe that's the best. I don't care what the modernization is. You can't beat the old traditions of strictness and going on the straight road. And this business of children living alone, I don't believe that. I told my children, you get out of here when you get married. That's it. When you get married, then you just go on your own. And we stuck to those rules. And thank God they worked out good for us. I don't say other people don't, other people do, but thank God I was thankful.
Are you glad your parents came to America?
Oh, yes, definitely. But then they wouldn't know the difference. I would not have known the difference, right? But we came to better ourselves, and although my father was not a stupid man, he was a very educated man, but he had problems in the town with the macaroni factory with his people, so he thought, well, I'm going to go on my own. And that's what happened. We
made a whole new life.
Yes, but we had a lot of disappointment. My father went, you know, died very young. My mother had a struggle, and, you know.
It wasn't all easy.
No, it wasn't easy at all, no. We had hard luck following us all the way.
Okay. Well, Mrs. Stanziali, thank you so much for letting
us
come
out. You're welcome. I hope it'll help you in any way.
Yeah, it was wonderful. wonderful. Especially the story about winning the money.
Yes.
That's a great story.
Oh, I tell you how I cry. My husband, what are you crying for? You won money, you know? I says, please, you don't know what's in my heart, you know? So when I went to pick the money, I says, thank you, Mom. You helped me, you know? And that was it.
This is Paul Segrist signing off with Jean Stanziali on March 31st, 1994. Mm.